Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs. People have been misunderstanding what the opener actually says, and I didn't realize it was so hard to understand until now. I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
All right, let's hear last week's song in full. This is called Friends with a Shark, inspired by my chat with Amy Shark. It's streaming everywhere now. The video is also up. The lyric video is also up at YouTube. Just search Jack Post. This is Friends with a Shark.
Have you ever forgotten to record an interview with an important guest? Then while you're getting stressed, it gets picked up by the press. Front page headline news. Well, maybe not the front, but prominently viewed. The whole world sees your mistake, and now there's a question mark. Will you ever be friends with Amy Shark? And now the tide is going out, and the sky is getting dark, and the water's getting cold. You'll never be friends with a shark. And the waves are coming down. If you go out now, you'll drown. You'll never have the chance again to make a shark your friend. Meant to be her friend, and then she'd introduce me to her other friends. Mark Hoppus and Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, oh yeah. But it didn't work that way, and now I'll never see the day where she brings me along. Getting dark, the water's getting cold. You'll never be friends with a shark, and the waves are crashing down. If you go out now, you'll drown. You're drifting from the shore. It's a metaphor. You'll never be friends with a
you'll
shark.
You'll never be friends with a
you'll
shark.
You'll never be.
That song is streaming everywhere now. You search Jack Post in Spotify to find all the songs from the show. And I believe they're in Apple Music and iHeartRadio and all the other streaming services as well. I just use Spotify, but I don't discriminate against people who use other streaming services. You can find them everywhere. And on YouTube, the lyric video to that song is there as well. Thank you to Amy Shark, and the interview last week was the best performing episode of the podcast so far. So really thankful she came on. I have been recommending. Actually, it was because of Amy Shark that I even found this podcast. I was so excited that Amy Shark had worked with Mark Hoppus from Blink-182. I talk about Blink-182 a lot on the show. So I was looking for stuff on YouTube to do with Amy Shark and Mark Hoppus. And then YouTube recommendations gave me an interview with Mark Hoppus and Jim Adkins. Jim Adkins is the lead singer of Jimmy Eat World. And he's got this new podcast called Pass Through Frequencies, and Mark Hoppus was his first guest on the show. You can watch him on YouTube, or you can get him just as regular podcasts. It's a podcast about songwriting, and it's awesome. And I mentioned it on the last Making Of episode, and people have even been emailing me to say, hey, thanks for recommending Pass Through Frequencies. Pass Through Frequencies with Jim Adkins. I got to admit, it's a crap name for it. I don't love the name of it, but I love the content in it. He talks to songwriters about songwriting. Mark Hoppus, I've listened to Steve Aoki. I listened to Tegan and Quinn from Tegan and Sarah. And so completely at random, I messaged Jim Adkins on Instagram, not expecting to get a reply, but just saying, hey, I've mentioned your podcast on my podcast here in Australia. If you ever wanted to come on my show to promote your podcast to an Australian audience, then let me know. I'd love to have you on. Guys, Jim Adkins is going to be on the next freaking episode of Jackie Road Studios. I can't believe it. Jimmy Eat World is a band I loved growing up. Of course, you'd know them from their song, The Middle. And like me, this is kind of the song that that I loved because I was a big fan of the Tony Hawk skateboarding game, this song called Pain. I don't feel the way I've ever felt. I know, gonna smile and not get worried. I try, but it shows. Anyone can make what I have built. And better now, anyone can find the same white pills. It takes my pain away. It's a lie. And Jimmy Eat World, honestly, they have so many good albums, and the album Surviving, which is their most recent release, is such a good album. Jimmy Eat World are still making great music. Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World is going to be on the show next week. I recorded the episode yesterday morning. It's just, for me, it's bizarre, right? Like, a guy from a band who I love, I just couldn't believe I was typing out messages to him on Instagram, and then, get this, he was so deliberate about, like, because I asked him to film at his, if he could film at his end so I could make the YouTube video, right? And he was so respectful of the process. He even wrote back and said, do you want me to change my GoPro settings to 25 frames per second? Because I know 25 frames per second is PAL, which is the standard in Australia, whereas we use NTSC or whatever it is they use in the States for like video quality. It's something I never would have thought to ask. So I said, yeah. And then he was talking about also the audio quality, and he's like, let's not do it over Zoom. Zoom records at 32,000K for their audio, whereas you want at least 44.1K or 48K. I couldn't believe how seriously he took it. And I was so thankful that he did, especially because, I mean, think of the debacle last week we had with Amy Shark where we didn't record at all. And now I've got a guy who's taking it so seriously. He bloody filmed multicam. He gave me two camera angles. We could switch. We could video switch during Jim Atkins' interview next week. But I think I'll just keep it easy and use the GoPro one. But when he was going to send me the footage, I use WeTransfer, is what I use to like upload big files. It does a maximum of 20 gigabytes, which is pretty big. He filmed in like 4K with his GoPro, right? Like the highest quality you could. And he said, after the interview, he writes to me and said, oh, Jack, it's going to be 60 gigabytes. The video alone is going to be 60 gigabytes. So let me bring it into Final Cut Pro and compress it for you and then send it out again. He was honestly such a legend. I'm so excited for you guys to hear the interview with him. And the most exciting bit is I asked him at the end of the interview, I just got a good feeling from him, you know. I felt like he was so delicate with all the audio and the video quality and how it was going to be recorded. This is the other thing. When we were trying to work out the time zone difference, he did that for me before I said, hey, I'll work out the time zone difference for you. He's like, oh, me in Arizona, this is the time I am, so that will be 8 a.m. your time. Will that work for you? It was honestly like I was joining his podcast and he was doing all the admin for it. So I was getting such a good feeling with him. At the end of the interview, I asked if he would lend even the smallest like guitar riff or the smallest vocal la 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 to the song that week. Like if he gave me that, then I would build the song around it. So I'm excited to say Jim Atkins, the lead singer of Jimmy Eat World, officially features on next week's song. Yeah, it hasn't even been written yet, but he will feature on next week's song. I'm so excited for you guys to hear the episode. It'll be on YouTube as well. All the interviews in full go up on YouTube. So just search Jack Post on YouTube. Let's get into how I made friends with a shark.
How did he make it? How did he make it? How did he make it? Oh, he's gonna tell you.
All right, this is how I made the song Friends with a Shark, which I wrote the Saturday morning before it was released on Monday. Well, the songs are really, from my point of view, they're released on Sunday night because the podcast is available from midnight on Monday. And then Sunday night, I go to bed at 8:30, being the professional broadcaster of a breakfast radio show that I am. I got to get my beauty sleep. And that, for me, that is getting an early bedtime on a Sunday night to give me momentum and energy for the week. So when the podcast is, you've got to be finished by Sunday night, that means the song's got to be finished by, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock on a Sunday. I would hope so. And then this song, Friends with a Shark, I actually wrote the Saturday morning before that Sunday. So it was really, you know, only a touch over 36 hours, say. We went from this, which is the first time I recorded into voice notes.
Now the tide is going down, and the sky's getting dark, the water's getting cold, Kevin, be friends with the shark.
To what it finally became in that same section.
And now the tide is going out. The sky is getting dark and the water's getting cold.
You'll never be friends with a shark.
And so I do always start pretty much in voice notes. Before I really had an idea for a song this week, I had this kind of guitar part and melody, which became the final chorus. Yeah. So that's just me recording on acoustic guitar and the MIDI keyboard hooked up to Logic. And that Friends with a Shark is what became the very end bit. Da 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 da. So I had that idea and then started putting lyrics to it around the idea of not being proper friends with Amy Shark, who I'm happy to say I have been speaking to Amy Shark again on Instagram. She has she doesn't hate the show as much as we thought she might when we were totally unprofessional that very first interview. Hopefully, you know what, in future series of the podcast, hopefully she comes on again. And I wish her all the best with her new album when it does come out. But it was fun to write a song about that essentially centered around her and I not being friends. And, you know, it would have been cool if we were. And then she'd introduce me to Mark Hoppus and Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, all the people that I mentioned during the song. So I'll show you how I take that this idea where I was just in voice notes.
Have you ever forgotten to record an interview?
To this.
Have you ever forgotten to record an interview with an important guest.
So the middle part is going, this is, and now I'm working a lot faster on Logic than I used to. And I had to with this one because, I mean, I was writing this song on Saturday morning, had nothing before that. I'm texting Kai Smith, who's the drummer again on the song. Awesome drummer, my new favorite drummer. And I texted him on Saturday and said, hey, if I can come up with a song that requires cool drums, would you be available to do it today? And he said, yeah, I'm in the studio at 3 o'clock. So if you can get me something by then, which is perfect. Honestly, the perfect way for me to work is to have a deadline. That's why this whole podcast is good, because it keeps me accountable and making stuff every week. But Kai saying, hey, you've got a couple of hours to finish this song, get it to me. That's the perfect kind of motivation I need. So this is where it sort of starts, with a guitar like this. I beg your pardon. And then I even put in some drums, just a drum loop of like the kind of drums that I want Kai to make sound cool. So, I mean, that sounds a bit, you know, lame compared to what's the finished product. But that's how I start the songs now, is just like get this guitar in there that I know is going to be changed. And that's, I tell you what, it's so much easier like that to record knowing, hey, this is going to be done again. So just get it down, get it in there, and then you'll go over it again with the electric guitar. If I think back to a song like Taylor Swift Is Sending Me to Prison, which the intro sounded like this. And I'm opening up a blank Logic project with nothing in it, and then trying to record this, you know, perfectly the first time, and it killed me. I had to keep doing it over and over again. And that's what made the song take so long to make. Whereas if I just put it in there and go, okay, you can come back to that and fix it up, this is a much better way to do it. And you know what? This is what this whole podcast is about, learning a better way to do these things. So it starts with just that guitar, these crappy drum loops, and then by the time you get to the verse, it sounds like this. And I've done the same thing here with the vocal, just laid down a vocal that I know I'm going to change later.
Have you ever forgotten to record an interview with an important guest?
So then I use this, I do that with throughout the whole song. It's just one acoustic guitar, these drum loops. Have hardly thought about that. The only thing I think about is that's a section where I want it to be sort of more of a subtle drum loop. And then there's parts where I want it to be a heavier drum loop. And that's just to that when I send that to Kai, I go, hey, some of the sections I want to be big, some of the sections I want to be small. For this song, because we were working on such a fast turnaround, that's all the direction I really gave him. He's like, listen to it. You'll be able to hear the parts that I want big, make them really big. The parts I want small, try and make them really small. And I loved what he came back with. Let me play a little bit of back-to-back of where it starts with the drum loop and then what he puts in.
Have you ever forgotten to?
All right, so that is the demo version versus the final.
Have you ever forgotten?
And I'll even play that again with the drums boosted right up.
Have you ever forgotten to?
Cool. So I'm very thankful again to Kai, my favorite drummer, your new favorite drummer too. He's awesome. Check out his stuff at Kai Smith on Instagram and YouTube. You can see his videos there as well. So I go through the whole song in a similar way to this.
And now the tide is going out, and the sky is getting dark, and the water's getting cold. You'll never be friends with a shark.
and that is just going through making just one acoustic guitar. You heard that I was doing some doubling of vocals. Actually, I think I just played some of the what were the final vocals over the top of the scratch vocals, and then it's got the drum loops at the bottom.
Never be friends with a shark.
Never be.
Cool. So I send all that to Kai. He sends back the drums, and then it's time to put the electric guitars back on top. I had Feff help me do this final mix again. He's so good with these electric guitars and making the drums and all the guitars sound big. I just said, I want this part to sound so big. So that's Feff on bass there, and then Feff even added the little guitar parts like this. That one coming just out the left side.
You're getting stressed, it gets picked up by the press. Front page headline news, well maybe not the front but prominently viewed.
Then I love how this is something that Feff is really introducing to me, and I love keep listening to that left side of your speaker or headphone as this verse gets towards the end of it, and as it builds back into that instrumental chorus, just putting that extra guitar line in there to, you know, pick it up, because we're going to go big again in the chorus.
The world sees your mistake, and now there's
comes in here.
Mark. Will you ever be friends with Amy Shark?
It's a great way to build into that chorus. So I'll play the guitar just on its own in that section. That's just a clean guitar on its own. Then listen to your left speaker. And then that's the instrumental bit that really stands in for a chorus, because you don't get a proper chorus until the right at the end of the song. I don't know why I revolt sometimes against a normal structure of a song, like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. But I just, it seemed, because it was a stupid chorus, you're friends with the shark, you'll never be friends with the shark, you'll never be friends with the shark. It just felt a little bit too sappy to keep putting the chorus in. That's why I kept it to the end and just left these instrumental parts as the, really, what would be the chorus.
Shark.
Cool. So this is this is such a stupid song, but I really liked when I came up with this bit of like the very obvious metaphors of Amy Shark the person and a shark that would swim in the sea.
And now the tide is going out.
The tide is going out on our relationship of being friends.
And the sky is getting dark.
Oh, it's ominous. Will we ever be friends?
And the water's getting cold.
You'll never be friends with a shark.
And the waves are coming down. If you go out now, you'll drown. You'll never have the chance again to make a shark your friend.
Back into that chorus. Instrumental chorus. And I love... Let me just play these back to back. So this is what the start of the song sounds like with that same instrumental guitar line. Listen to the speed of the drums there. It's like boo, ta, boo, ta, boo, ta, boo, ta. And then when we get into this third version of it, just to give it more interest, Kai's done this awesome like double time for it. Ta, 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 boo, ta, boo, ta. I really love what he did with the drums. I'm going to just isolate that quickly. Then he goes into halftime. Cool. So I'll play, actually, I might play you what it was in voice notes and then we'll come back, listen to the whole thing.
I was meant to befriend her and then I'm meant to befriend her and then she'd introduce me to her friend. My cup was in Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, oh yeah.
Cool, and then that sounds like this on the final version.
I was meant to be her friend, and then she'd introduce me to her other friends. My compass and Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, oh yeah.
So when I was doing the demo version, I really just wanted to outline where I wanted it to be big and where I wanted it to be small. So this is like
I was meant to be
me saying, keep it small, keep it quiet.
Introduce me to her other friends.
And then go big here.
Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, oh yeah.
So I essentially just use those two different drum bits to say, hey, Kai, do soft here and then do big here. And when I was talking to Feff, like about, you know, how the mix wanted to sound, I was, again, just like, quiet here.
I was meant to be her friend, and then she'd introduce me to her other friends.
And then big.
And Ed Sheeran, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, oh yeah. But it didn't work that way, and now the day where she brings me along to Elton John, we'd have sung a song, oh yeah.
Cool, and then into a reprise of the second verse.
The tide is going out, the sky is getting dark.
I guess you could call this like a chorus-ish thing anyway.
The sky is getting dark, the water's getting cold, you'll never be friends with a shark.
I really love the guitar part there.
Crashing down, you're drifting from the shore, it's a metaphor.
So those vocals are just me, obviously, doing one side in one take and then and the overlaps, obviously, at a different time.
Metaphor. You'll never be friends with a
you'll
shark.
You'll never be
friends with a
you'll
shark.
You'll never be
friends with a shark.
And now if I had my time again, or if I'm like, sorry, if I had more time, I would have loved to put some harmonies in there during these bits just to, like, again, add bigness to this last chorus. Actually, a call out to anybody who does great vocals or really knows how to do backing vocals and harmonies. If you're interested in working on any of these songs, I would love to reach out to a few people who can really record at home and do it properly and can work on a fast turnaround as well. If, you know, if I sent you something like this.
You'll never be friends with a
you'll
shark.
Never be
friends with a
you'll
shark.
Never be
friends. So say I sent you something like that on a Saturday afternoon and needed it by Saturday night. if you would be keen on doing it, you can do great backing vocals and you can do great harmonies and you can record from home. I would love to have people work on the song because I really got to Saturday and thought I would love to have some extra vocals on this, but just didn't really have the time to do it or find somebody to do it at short notice. So jackieroadstudios@gmail.com if you can do that. I also appreciate everybody who's reaching out, from guitarists and other instrumentalists who's saying they would love to work on songs. I'm keeping everybody honestly who emails me and wants to contribute to the songs, I'm keeping all your names, and just when the time is right, I'll reach out. You know, I might need a guitar part, I might need a different drum part, I might need something, and then I'll reach out to you and hopefully we can make it work. Because what I've loved about this whole podcast is collaborating with people that I'd never met before. I'll actually try and make a point to get some backing vocalists, or at least one on the next track if it requires it. So jackieroadstudios@gmail.com if that is you and you can record at home. Oh, we're already at the end of the song. Well, that's how I made this song. Thanks again to Feff, who helped me do the final mix and added the bass and the extra guitar. Thanks, of course, to Kai Smith, who added the drums. And thanks to Amy Shark for being a good sport.
It's time to read your emails. Read your emails.
All right, as we get closer and closer to the end of season one of Jackie Road Studios, if it's your first time hearing about the fact that there will be an end to series one, my idea is to make a whole album's worth of songs. So 12 songs is a pretty standard track listing for an album. So when I get to 12 songs, I'm going to put out an album of all the songs we've done on the show, and then start a season two with new guests, new songs in 2021. But if you're wondering what we're going to do on the last episode, we're going to give away the world's fastest guitar, a Yamaha 720B. Everybody who gets their email read out on the show gets their raffle ticket for the Yamaha, which will be drawn at random on the last episode. I only introduced the idea of the Yamaha about midway through the season. So if you're listening to this and you got an email on the show early on in the first couple of weeks, please contact me and let me know. Go say, I want my raffle ticket for the Yamaha World's Fastest Guitar. Because my email got read on such and such show, I'll just believe you. I don't have time to go back and listen to the episodes and write down everybody who took part. And so just please let me know. JackieRoadStudios@gmail.com is the email address. You can email me about anything. The talking points at the end of each interview episode is a great way to get involved. But like Cameron has done here, you can really email about anything. Cameron says, yo, Jack, in reference to the lowest ranking member in the Entourage, the lowest ranking member in the Entourage is the song I wrote at the end of Nikki Glaser's episode. Here's a little part of it here.
And they thank me for my hospitality, then they throw my TV off the balcony, hotel property in the pool as they trash the place. Next, they threw my suitcase, then they lit a firework out of my ass. I'm the lowest ranking member in the Entourage.
Cameron says, I don't know if the part about lighting a firework out of your ass was autobiographical. Cameron, no, it was not. I've never, like I said in the making of episode, I actually got that idea from Jackass. I think it's either Jackass movie or one of the episodes, they light fireworks out of each other's butts on a balcony of a hotel. Cam says, it reminded me of one time in grade 8. I was living in Macau as a teenager and I had the benefit of celebrating Chinese New Year. And the best thing about Chinese New Year was the fireworks. We used to go to the fireworks stall and go nuts. You were supposed to only light them up in the designated areas next to the stalls. But my friends and I always snuck them out, sticking them down our pant legs, in the hoods of our jacket, or our female friends' handbags. Yeah, I have bought fireworks only once in my life, but it was exhilarating. In Melbourne, it was well known that in Footscray, at the Footscray markets, there was somewhere where you could buy illegal fireworks. And I was well into my adult years. I was already with Bianca, so I was at least 24 when I bought illegal fireworks for the first time. And I remember going to Footscray Market. A friend had told me the stall to look out for, and I asked for the fireworks, and they said, "We don't sell fireworks." And then I had to go, "If I gave you cash now, cash money, would you give me fireworks?" And then she, the lady behind the counter presented a bag. No, she said, "How much cash?" She said, "How much cash?" I said, $50. She just went behind the counter, pulled out almost like a garbage bag, black garbage bag, and I didn't even look in it. I could just feel the weight of the fireworks in it, handed over my money, and I scurried away, looking left and right as I came out of the store, jump in the car, making sure no one's tailing me. Exhilarating. I wonder if you could still buy fireworks from that place. Back to Cam's story. He's buying the fireworks in Macau. Macau, China. I've been to Macau, actually. Is it part of China? Might be its own. I think it's part of China, but it's like an island off the bottom of China. And it's like, it's casinos. Its casino area is bigger than the one in Las Vegas. There's more casinos in Macau than there are in Las Vegas. I lost a lot of money there. Cam says, in grade 8, my friends and I bought some little bottle rockets. We used to take them off the sticks. They used to stabilize them in flight and throw them near our other friends and watch them freak out while the little rocket buzzed around uncontrollably. Yep, makes sense. Then someone dared me to fire one out of my butt. I have to admit, it wasn't great. I wussed out a little bit, so I poked a hole through my boxes with the rocket stick so it wouldn't scorch my ass. Yeah, okay, you didn't go full bare ass. That's fine. But when my friend lit it, I was clenching my cheeks so tight, the firework didn't fly away. It just stayed there covering my boxes with sparks till it popped. That, surprisingly, was the last time I tried shooting explosives out of my ass. Cam, thank you. I did not expect to get such an email, but you've definitely earned yourself a raffle ticket for the Yamaha.
Talking points, oh, what are you talking points?
Wrong sound effect. But let us go into the talking points of last episode with Amy Shark. I was asking about gimmicks that you either have for when you become a rock star and you imagine yourself on stage, the kind of gimmicks you would do, or gimmicks you've seen other bands do. Mine, of course, was the paint pole. That is trademarked. No one can ever use the paint pole that extends over the crowd to send the microphone 3 meters into the crowd and people sing along. That is mine. And I said I'd give it to Amy Shark. So if she uses it, fine. Anybody else, I'm coming for you. Remember the show. I forgot about this. Remember, the show has a lawyer. Forgot his name. The show has an official lawyer. For if we ever get sued by Taylor Swift, or now, if anybody ever steals the paint pole gimmick on stage. This comes from Luke Walton. Hey, Jack, this gimmick comes from one of the best live acts, I've ever seen. American band Mute Math. I do not know Mute Math. At one point during the show, the techs would chuck an inflatable double mattress that had flashing lights attached all around it into the crowd, and the lead singer, Paul, not a very rock and roll star name, is it? Guys, make way. Paul's about to do some crowd surfing, guys. Paul is going to do some crowd surfing. Paul would jump into it with his wireless mic and surf the mattress around the crowd while singing. And this was great at their live show full of their own fans. But when I saw them again, this time it was at a festival, and it didn't take long before the rowdy crowd flipped the mattress over with Paul on it and proceeded to mob him. Guys, Paul's down! Paul is down! If I knew his name was Paul, I would try and tip the mattress as well. Luke says, I remember being close to him at the time and seeing the panic in his eyes as he looked at me and my mates and mouthed, up, up, and pointed back up at the stage. We managed to hoist him up and he crowd surfed regular style back to the stage. And to this day, I still feel like a hero. Well done, Luke. I mean, of course, this reminds me of, I don't know who came up with it first, but at the Hamish and Andy crowd surfing show for Hamish and Andy fans, we came up with an idea where we got a whole crowd of fans in, where were we? The Hi-Fi Bar in Melbourne, whatever that's called now, the Max Watts. And they crowd surf for the whole 2 hours of the show in an inflatable, not an inflatable mattress, but inflatable, what do you call it? Dinghy, boat, like lifeboat type of thing. But if that was Paul's idea first, congratulations, Paul, and sorry that we stole it. Benjamin says, Benjamin Crabtree. Talking points, gimmicks. I like when people are so just like, no, hello, just talking points, colon, gimmicks, colon, toss up between two, colon. The massive inflatable ball that Jeremy from A Day to Remember used to roll around in on the crowd from the inside. It's a lot like Paul's gimmick. Who's done that before? I've seen a giant inflatable ball. I think their Flaming Lips have a giant inflatable ball. They go inside. Actually, it's like another it's like another Hamish and Andy idea where they went in the giant inflatable ball down the Amazon River. Jeremy's doing that. Oh, he says, but this one's better. The trick the guitarists do from Story of the Year when they're playing the song In the Shadows. Both guitarists on opposite sides of the stage would throw their guitars at each other at the same time, catch the other person's guitar, then continue the song. One occasionally would do a backflip as well. Holy shit. All right, let's see if we can... Okay, see if I can bring up Story of the Year doing... what do we call it? Guitar throw into the shadows. Holy shit. Holy crap. It's exactly what he said it was. They're at a festival and they throw... Let me just turn the volume down a little bit as I watch it again. Yep, the guitarists de-strap, throw their guitars from one side of the stage to the other. It's actually like roadies who catch the guitars because one guy... One of the guitarists is busy after he throws his guitar, jumping up on one of the amps and backflipping off the amp back onto the stage. And then the roadies are giving the guitars back. Dangerous shit, I gotta say. Those flying guitars. Imagine somebody in the audience copped a guitar to the head or the drummer or even the poor guys who like grew up dreaming of being roadies and, you know, tinkering with the volume on the amps and making sure the... Test one, two. Microphones work at the start. And then you get told, oh, you're going to catch this flying javelin of a guitar coming at you midway through the set. Story of the Year In the Shadows live guitar throw is what I YouTube search to see that. Thank you, Ben.
Talking points. Oh, what are you talking points?
My mind don't have time to go through all these, but... a surprising amount of people writing in for who they've seen suck live. I said that I saw the Strokes. I think it was, I said 2003. I was looking at, because of Jim Adkins' episode coming up next week, I was looking at the lineup for 2003, Big Day Out, when they played the first festival that I ever went to when I was 15, and the Strokes went on it. So I think it must have been a year after that, 2004, Big Day Out, the Strokes sucked live. Lucky says, hey Jack, love the pod, first time emailer, but been listening from the start. My band / artist that was a bit of a disappointment was Kanye West at Big Day Out in 2012. Don't get me wrong, when he played his songs, he was great, but halfway through the set, he went on a bit of a rant and just spoke on stage for about an hour. God, how boring. A lot of the crowd were confused. And at one point, he was actually laying down on his back. He was actually laying down on his back on the stage talking to the crowd. You know what? I would actually... Bands who play for a long time, you know, it's a workout. And if they're doing that every night, I agree with a mid-set lie down. Even when I started the Christian O'Connell show, the breakfast show in Melbourne... and I was not used to waking up so early to do the show, I was a big fan of lying on the floor during the songs and getting a little rest that way. He wasn't a big fan of that. It did bring into question my commitment to the show. And I'm proud to say that I don't have to lie down during the songs anymore. But a mid-song lie down is something that I actually respect. And if I saw it, I would say, well, why don't we all have a seat now? Because I get bloody tired watching bands. If a band plays up more than an hour and a half, my legs are getting tired. I'm getting bored. I've had enough fun. I've seen the experience. Luke says, I was annoyed because he went 3/4 of an hour over his set time and we missed another artist who was playing at the end because of his big speech in the middle. Thank you, Locke. Ryan Sheehy says, ahoy, Jack from Massachusetts in the US. Hello, Ryan. This is a hot take, as I know you love this band, as do I, but one of the worst live performances I've ever seen was NoFX. I know they're known for sucking live. Yes, they had an album called I Heard They Suck Live. But my partner and I went to a festival that NoFX was headlining. We got there early to make sure we had a decent spot out front and watch every set through the 4 to 5 hour festival. It was about 9:30 p.m. when NoFX came out and I was fully stoked for them to play. When they came on, I could immediately tell Fat Mike was hammered. Fat Mike is the singer of NoFX. Fat Mike was hammered, as he usually is on stage. Yeah, every time I've seen him, and I've seen him maybe 5 times, they make a big deal of drinking a lot on stage. Brian says, but this time he was barely able to stand. Most of their hour set included of Mike trashing the crowd and being unable to play his bass lines or remember any lyrics. Big bummer, but hey, it was still a great night. P.S. I do want to say I've seen them other times and they kicked ass and they did play very tight. Must have been in the end of a tour or he was just extra drunk or something. Loving the podcast, Ryan. Yeah, I guess that's just bad luck, Ryan. I've seen him, every time I've seen him, they've been pretty good. I saw him at a festival called No Sleep Festival in Melbourne that only did, I think they only did one tour of Australia and then it didn't come back the next year, but it had a great lineup of like Alkaline Trio, NoFX, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. I just remember having so many bands on the list that I was pumped to see. The Descendants played. It was the first time the Descendants had got back together in years. And NoFX played second last, then Descendants played last. Both were awesome. And then Fat Mike comes back on stage because there was like a curfew, I guess, for 10 or 11 o'clock at night. For noise complaints, like, hey, if we go over, if any of these bands play over time, there's a $5,000 fine because it goes against whatever, noise pollution they said they wouldn't do after a certain time, the festival. So Fat Mike came on stage and he said, I'll pay the $5,000 fine for the Descendants to keep playing. And so they did. And I think he was drunk. And they did keep playing. I wonder if he ever paid that fine. All right, last one. No last one. That'll do for now. Guys, everybody whose email got read, congratulations, you go into the draw to win the Yamaha guitar at the end of the series. Thank you to everybody who's been listening to Jackie Road Studios podcast. Thanks for all the kind messages that come in. And please tell your friends about the show. I never really say, I was about to say like rate and review it on iTunes, which I've never said before. But hey, if you could take a second out to go and rate it and review it on iTunes, I've never even done a rate and review on iTunes. I don't know how hard it is. Please let me know if you do it. I'll give you a raffle ticket, actually, for everybody this week who rate and reviews. I'll give you a raffle ticket for the Yamaha. Thank you, guys and girls. And as always now, with the making of episode, we finish with the closing music as requested by Andrew, sung by listener Matt Cross.
Well, Jackie wrote it is now closed until the next episode. So here's an outro for Jackie's show. So Andrew knows that it's the end of the podcast.
Jackie Road Studios is a way of life.